say that I appreciate the offering. May the Lord bless you. And those that need healing for your bodies, Sister Rich is a walking miracle and walking testimony. 9 years now when she was diagnosed with two kinds of cancer. One of them was the aggressive kind. Didn't move as fast as they thought it would. 9 years later, she's still getting reports cancer-free. Amen. And every year or every 2 years, you go and they check her again. And I like to take that letter and wave it in front of the devil. It says, there's no cancer cells now. And I want to tell you what happened at a place called San Blas Islands years ago. We wonder if God will just heal. What do we have to do to get the healing from God? Well, our pastor, Brother Steve Moore, was with me there. And I was busy doing something else, and they came to us and asked us, said, there's an old man over here in severe pain. And now this is heathen people. And we'd like for you to come and see what your God would do for us. I told Brother Steve, go on over there. And he went over there, and that old man testified that the moment his hand touched his head and said, in the name of Jesus, all the pain left and didn't come back. Now that's what Jesus will do. He can do it. Sister Rich said.
You may think this is not a special song, but it's has a special meaning. It's where could I go but to the Lord. As I listen to the songs tonight, and it seems like they're all pointing to one thing, Calvary. You know, when we fail, and how many of us can say that we've never failed since we've been a Christian? I'm just so glad that we got a God that gives us more than one opportunity. Because I feel like if it wasn't for the opportunities that we have along the way, we wouldn't be here. And, you know, I was thinking, if I really had a need, I have confidence that anybody here, if they could help me meet that need, they would. But there's some times that you can't help me. There's times that Brother Rich can't help me. There's times if my mother was here, she couldn't help me. But there's never been a time that I didn't go to the Lord that He can help me.
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me. comfort I get from His own word. Yet when I face the chilly hand of death,
Brother Brent's already mentioned the scripture, Jeremiah 33:3, where God said, call unto me, and I might answer you. Or if you do it just right, I'll answer you. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew unto thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. A lot of great songs have been sang here tonight. I like those songs, and I believe one of the brothers, I believe that Brother Brad sang about being set free, those shackles and chains falling off. Well, the Bible said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36 says, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's no use of being staying in bondage whenever someone has the power to liberate you and set you free. And I thank you for bearing with me today. I was really out of it this morning. I did the best that I could. But can anybody remember what I preached about? Okay. Well, I went straight from here to a place and talked to a man about this church. And he said, well, that's a Baptist church out there, isn't it? I said, no, sir. It's a holiness church. Are there a Baptist church out this road? Oh, I see. Well, anyhow, he was right. And he said there was. I said, I don't know where it's at, but I said, I go to the Holiness Church there. But I think we can be a link to getting somebody to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And tonight, is any of those boys 8 years old? You come up here with me for just a moment. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles 34. Yeah, set up. Pull that chair over here a little bit for me, Brother Marvin. Let him sit right up there in that chair. 8 years old now. 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Begin reading at verse 1. You have it? And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Can you imagine a king? This fellow here being a king? Well, that's how old Josiah was. 8 years old. Now, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now there's a great compliment paid to Josiah. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And then, verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. I want to preach for just a little while tonight on the lost book. The reign of Josiah is a very interesting thing to read about. It comes right on the heels of that wicked reign of Manasseh and his son, very wicked son, Amnon. Manasseh was a wicked king that the Bible declares he committed abominations like that of the heathen. He built and rebuilt the altars of Balaam and made groves that his father Hezekiah had torn down and destroyed. He rebuilt them and planted them. And the Bible says that Manasseh worshiped the host of heaven, the stars and the moon. And he built all idol altars right in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the Lord's house. So deep it was his sacrilege. So terrible it was that he caused his children to pass through the fire. And history bears out that he offered his own children as sacrifices to his God. He used enchantments and witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and all Israel backslid. And though God humbled Manasseh in his death, his wicked son Amnon followed in his footsteps, and his own servants assassinated him, and his reign and his kingship was cut short. And then we come to Josiah, who was 8 years old when he began to reign. Josiah was of the seed of David, and the Bible says he walked in the ways of his father. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and neither turned it to the right hand or to the left, just straight. And the Bible says that in the 8th year of his reign, at age 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And you know, it's amazing what a godly heritage will do. You see, his heritage brought him to the God of David, and then his own self had a relationship with God. And when he did, he began to purge and cleanse the land of the abominable things. He broke down the altars of Baal and all the images. He cut down the groves, which are the outdoor places of worship and sacrifice. And he destroyed and broke in pieces every idol, every molten image, and even killed the wicked idolatrous priests upon their own altars. And if you'll search his record, he got rid of the sodomites in the land. Oh, this young man meant business. Oh, Josiah did. Yes, he did. After he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, then he went to the temple and the house of God, and he began to purge and cleanse the house of the Lord and repair it and restore it. And in the midst of all of their work, the Bible says in our text that Hilkiah found the book of the law of Moses in the house of the Lord. There, some say that it could have been the original Pentateuch that Moses wrote. We do not know. But we do know, according to Hebrews 9:19, that Moses took blood and sprinkled both the people, and he sprinkled the book with blood. This is the only book that's be sprinkled with blood right here, the Holy Word of God. After he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem and began to cleanse the house of the Lord, and they found this book, I want to preach to you just a little while about this lost book. Listen, the book of the law of Moses had been lost. Right in the midst of the idolatrous reign of Manasseh and Amnon, God and his law had been discarded and pushed out. Heathen and pagan practices had been instituted in the place. And for generations, the law of God was lost. If you count the reign of Manasseh and Amnon until the time that the book of the law was found and brought to Josiah, it was 80 years. Four 20-year-old generations had lived in lawless idolatry, gross darkness, and religious sacrilege. Why? Because the book of the law was left behind and lost. It is believed that this book was found by this man, this priest. And as I've already stated, they thought it could have been the original Pentateuch that was actually written by Moses. What a treasure, hidden and lost in the midst of the clutter of idols, images, and shrines, and pagan deities right in the house of the Lord. Now, this text may not seem to fit. It may seem like it's foreign to us sitting here tonight. And yet I'm afraid there's a terrible parallel between Josiah's discovery and dispensation and this current generation. Our generation of godliness and the downward heathen trends is a product of a lost book, the Bible, the Holy Word of God. There's no other book like the Word of God. It's one that will stay with you and help you in time of need. This spatial condition of the church that we're in today in many areas, it can all be traced back to this terrible fact that the book has been lost. We've lived to see the day right in our own day when the Bible is barred from our schools. And when they barred the Bible, they started murdering the students and killing people right in the schools. Oh yes, it's barred from our government halls. And prayers that are prayed in a generic fashion, lest somebody calling on the name of Jesus might offend some Muslim or somebody out there be offended that don't believe in Jesus. Well, it offends me when they don't recognize my Savior, Jesus Christ. When they don't call His name, when they're afraid to call His name. Oh yes, yes, somebody needs to cry out and say, the book is lost. The book is lost. Oh yes, for God has magnified thy word. It says so in Psalms 138:2, that for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Look how great the name of Jesus is. And God has put His word above His name. Oh yes, and heaven and earth shall pass away. But God said, my word will not pass away. Listen, the book of the law was written by Moses by divine inspiration of God. It was written to be a blueprint for living and a guidepost of life. It includes the Ten Commandments. Brother Bruce used one of them today in his lesson. The law of God was given to establish government, human relations, and to instruct us in the ways of God. It dealt with the origin of sin and man's sinful state. And the only way back to God and the only approach back to God can be found in this book. There is no other book that deals so severe with sin as this book. But no other book has the cure for sin but this book that I'm preaching from tonight. Listen, this treasure was trampled and holy tradition trashed, and darkness, devilish darkness, swept this once God-fearing, God-loving nation all because the book was lost. I would to God that America, our beloved America, could see the perilous path that we're on and treading today. You no longer have to pick up an encyclopedia to acquaint yourself with the practices of the heathen. Just busy yourself among our streets and our commerce. Oh yes, our generation is tattooed and pierced. Oh yes, all around you can see these pagan practices. All the marks of heathenism and idolatry can be seen on this generation. Why? Because the book has been lost. I said the book has been lost, not only out on the streets, but the book has been lost in many churches. Many churches, they don't preach the word of God as divine inspiration. I believe every word of it is divinely inspired by God, and that holy men of old wrote as they was moved on by the Spirit. Our society is a product of the rebellious Manassas generation who rebelled against the God of our fathers and pushed aside the Word of God for a deviant lifestyle. My generation and your generation, I'll soon be 68 years old, but we have lived to see the day when murder is mandated.
It's against the law. What song? Somebody think I'm calling them old? Huh? Okay, I had 10 more years, 78. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rich. Here's the thing. My generation has lived to see the day when murder is mandated. It's against the law to turn down a woman for abortion. That's the nation we're living in. You know why? The book has been lost. The book has been lost. When homosexuality and lesbianism is accepted lifestyle and now is considered the norm. Oh, yes. And when Mr. Obama, your president, and mine too, which I did not vote for him and wouldn't vote for him. No, no. Oh, no. But when he himself has okayed the gay, they call it gay, homosexuality. Oh, yes, and gay marriages. Oh, what an idiot we have for a president that think a man can marry another man or a woman can marry another woman. That has to be the zenith of foolery. Listen to me. It's all because this book has been lost. Oh, yes, now these people, homosexuals, have their calendar days and spatially privileges and events, and they can parade up and down the streets with a lascivious lifestyle. Oh, yes, and lobby in our capital. They have their own TV channels and their websites, and they're pushing their agendas in the textbooks of the public schools. And my niece, who is over several schools hiring and firing of teachers in the state of California, she's telling me that in the textbooks, the homosexual lifestyle is being pushed, that transgender and bisexual dress is being included in some of the curriculum in public schools. Why? Because this book has been lost. People are not being saved like they used to because people are not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord saves. The Lord still... I got it tonight. Hallelujah. Excuse me. The Lord, He's wanting somebody to find the book again. We need a Josiah generation of leadership. Oh, yes, we do. We need a Josiah generation of leadership who will say, find the book and read it again and read it loud. Read it and love it and live it, for it is the Word of God. We need to declare again the curses that are pronounced by God on generations that keep not the Word of the Lord. The Bible still states that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. Listen, the reason our generation cannot find their way, the book has been lost. And it's lost because previous generations left the book. But we must hold on to it. Our little church here, that's one thing we have, is the Word of God, the pure Word of God. There are so many different versions, you're right. Like the NIV in Isaiah 7:14, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, in the King James. In the NIV it says, behold, a young woman shall conceive and bring forth a son. We all know that are adults, there's a lot of difference between a young woman and a virgin. But anything to do away with the book. Oh, our generation is lost because we have tried other things other than the book. What happened to our beloved America? Why are we going down the road we're going? Why is so many turning their back on God and on the Word of God? It's because the book is lost. The book is lost. Very few preachers are preaching straight down the line anymore. I go to a lot of camp meetings, and I've been going to them for a long time, being 78 almost. It makes me go to a lot of camp meetings. I've been preaching about 54, 55 years. Used to hear a lot of holiness preaching in the camp meetings because it was a holiness meeting. You go now, you hear a lot of them, you can make it messages. But you don't hear many by very many hewing it down the line. Used to be, in the holiness meeting, you expected to hear somebody preach against sin. Oh, yes. You used to expect them. If you went to a Baptist church, you expected to hear the Baptist doctrine. If you went to the holiness church, you expected to hear the holiness doctrine. But, oh, it's different now because the book has been lost. As I close tonight, look at the vain attempts of man in this day trying to calm the raging tide of sin. In their efforts to do so, trying to eradicate sin, they sweep away a few cobwebs, but never kill the spider. They cut off a few branches off the tree, but they never dig out the root. And now, you understand that they're trying to ban guns and take all your firearms away. Hey, a gun's not dangerous. It's wicked men who've left this book that gets murder in their heart and kills people. Oh, that's right. That's the truth. Hear me. I want to tell you this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But whenever you get saved, truly saved, you have a change of heart. Oh, if therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We now have in our schools, by your tax dollars, supplying young girls with contraceptive devices free in the schools, encouraging terrible, terrible conduct. Are you listening to me? Why? Because the book is lost. We now have so many who have committed adultery. Nobody ever says anything about it. As a matter of fact, we was in a church some time ago, and a man was there who one time was married to a woman, and he had married again. He was back again with his new wife, and she was back again with her new husband. But the Bible still states, he that committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. His reproach shall not be taken away. The Bible says a wicked woman, adulterous woman, she wipeth her mouth and says, I've committed no sin, no evil. But the book still says it's wrong. It's wrong, my friend, to commit these terrible sins of the flesh. I'm going to close with this. But I heard this story of a liberal preacher. And one of his members was in the hospital. And he went to visit him. This preacher did. And this man was lying there sick. And the preacher said, well, before I go, I want to read the scripture to you. He said, have you got a Bible? And the fellow said, yes. And handed him a Bible. And it was just thin, racked and ruined and stuff gone. He said, is this the only Bible you've got, sir? He said, yes, sir. That's the only Bible I got. He said, well, how come you don't have a full Bible? He said, when you came to our church as my pastor, I had the entire Bible. But you'd read certain portions of Scripture. You say, now that doesn't apply to us. And we do not have to live like that. And said, every time you say that, I'd tear that part out. And I'd tear another part out. Said, I believe if I sit under your ministry another year, I won't have anything left but the covers. Hey, we got to find the book. We've got to preach the book. We've got to learn it and love it and live it. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's just as powerful today and just as forceful today and just as binding today as if it was spoken by God this very day. That's how forceful the Word of God is. All of us must understand that sin has come in because the book has been lost. Oh, I want to find it. If we've lost it, I want to find it. I spent my afternoon looking in the book this afternoon, a good part of it. And I believe if you'll read the book, you'll see it still, if you've got a King James Version, you'll see it still reads just like it did when I got my first King James Version Bible. A Scofield, how many ever heard of that? I had a Scofield Bible, my first, started preaching down on the streets with a Scofield Bible. And here's what happened. On the streets of Pismo Beach, California, I took the Bible as a young preacher, about younger than you, and not as young as Josiah here, but younger than some of our preachers here. And I went down on the streets, and I set up my little PA system. Y'all have heard me tell the story before, and got electricity from a bar there. I'll never forget that, but I tried to preach and Shirley tried to sing for a while without PA, and I had this little PA, it's like a suitcase, and I went over and knocked on this door of this bar, for those that can't remember or haven't heard the story, and the guy said, "Come on in, we're open," and I said, "I'm not coming in," and I kept knocking. He said, "Come on in, we're open," I said, "I'm not coming in," and I just kept knocking. Finally, he come and swung the door open and said, "Come on in, we're open." I said, "No, I'm not coming in, sir. I'm getting ready to preach right here in front of your place. I got a little PA system here, and I need some electricity." And I had the extension cord in my hand. He said, "Well, come on in and plug it in." I said, "No, you plug it in and throw it out that window right there." And he did that. And that night, the devil paid the electricity bill. While I preached down on the streets of Pismo Beach out of that Scofield Bible, King James Version. I started preaching down there every Saturday night and got a good congregation coming. And that had been, how long ago, Sister Rich? Close to 50 years ago? Well, now think back. I don't know just how long. It's been a long time ago. I was back down there this last summer and had a King James Version Bible. And these people were singing a few songs. And I said, "Can you play 'He Touched Me'?" And they said, "All right, we think we can." I said, "Shirley, I want you to sing it." And she started singing that song, "He Touched Me." And people started gathering around. And I took the book, the King James book, and I started preaching once again out of the Word of God, and people started gathering around to hear the Word of the Lord. There's still power in that book. What we need to do is find it, learn it, memorize. Memorize a lot of the Scriptures. That's good for you. Don't you like when our young people come up here and say, "I don't think no church can equal this church for young people saying Scripture verses." I've been in a lot of churches and I've never seen that quite like that, and I like it. But we need to learn the book, and we need to find the book. Would you stand with me, please? That lost book, Josiah. Thank you. Thank you very much. King Josiah was a great king, all right, and the things that he did were mighty, but he didn't end up that well. Sorry to say that. A lot of people that starts out good, they don't end up just exactly right. But I want to end up right, don't you? That's why I'm sticking with this book, I'm trying to live according to this book. Oh, yes, and I know that you people prayed for me last Sunday night, wasn't it? For so long, and I did get much better, and then sort of regressed back into some of this, but I'm still better than I was that night when y'all were praying for me, and I give God praise for that, and I want you to continue to pray for me, because I was praying myself this afternoon, and you know, I believe it's James 5:16. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I was praying this afternoon, and God said, there's one thing that will conquer, and that's prayer. I believe that, don't you? Find the book, read the book, and pray and seek God. And I was praying there today, and the Lord let me know that He wasn't through with me yet. Thought maybe I might go on here two or three nights ago, and Sister Rich did too, but I didn't. I'm still here. Praise the Lord. But I've still got some work to do. And I can still win a few more souls. Amen. And preachers, I admonish you. Get out and do something for God. If you have to go down on the street, we've got streets here in Purcell. Do they allow that? You don't think? Have you tried it? Have any other preachers tried it? Well, try it. Somebody try it and see if they allow it. I'll go with you. Hallelujah. We give her a try. Are there ordinances against it? Is it still free speech? Well, you can preach down on the street then. Oh, yes. That's how those campus preachers and these guys that preach on the street, they know the law, and they'll quote certain law numbers that gives them a right to preach there on the street. We've got a work to be done. Let's become a link for the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, there might be somebody here. I don't know who it would be, but there might be somebody here while every head's bowed. There's something in your life that's not right with God. And you say, Brother Rich, the book condemns what I'm doing. The book condemns my situation. Would you please remember me in prayer? Lift that hand quickly right now in the name of Jesus. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Read the book and see where you're at with God. Your position is very important, because soon Jesus is coming. My mother used to sing an old song. I hadn't heard it in years. Nobody's record but mine. You're not going to face nobody's record but yours. How is it going to be with you? Anybody say, Brother Rich, there's something in my life that I need to get deliverance from? If not, then I'd ask you to come and join me in prayer right now around these altars. Everyone that will. Oh, yes. Help me pray for the lost and pray for others that are out of the ark of safety. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Lamb of God. Holy Lamb of God. Holy Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus. There are so many that are lost. So many that are going down the wrong road. Oh, and our government has pushed aside the holy book. Oh, the book has been lost in many a home. Oh, many other things have been substituted for the book. But oh God, how we need the book once again. Oh, for instructions in righteousness. For instructions in holiness. Oh, for instruction in day by day living. We need the book. Oh, hallelujah. We need to find that book. Oh God, we need to find that book if it's lost in our lives. Oh, so many things have been substituted in the homes of different ones. Lord, instead of the Bible, but Lord, we've got to read the Bible. We've got to study the Bible. Oh, yes. Lord, I've read the Word many times, Lord, but so many times I find things I don't remember ever reading, things I don't remember. Oh, God, we've got to find that lost book and read it once again. Oh, God, for it has the ways of life in it. Oh, it gives instruction, Lord, for how we live daily in this present world. Gives instructions how we can be ready to meet you when that trumpet sounds, dear Lord, in the sky as you return. Lord, we want to be ready to meet you. Jesus, we're crying out to you right now. Oh, help us to find that book. Oh, help our government to find that book. Lord, oh Lord, help us to find it and read it and believe it and live by it. Oh God, Lord, I magnify your name. I glorify your name and I thank you for your word. Oh, your everlasting, enduring word. The promises are true and faithful. Every promise in the book, Lord, is true. Lord God, we know that you will confirm your word. Lord, when we believe your word, you will confirm it. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Bible, for the truth, Lord, for the King James Version of the Bible. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful opportunity I've had to study your word, to preach your word. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. For Lord, I know there's no other way. There is no other book that's been sprinkled with blood. There is no other book that has the covenants in them that you've made with your people. But Lord, you will keep your end of the bargain, your end of the covenant. If we'll keep ours, Lord, you will confirm your word in our lives and in our hearts. Oh, God, touch the church here tonight. Our pastor and his wife, wherever they're at, touch them and bless them. And encourage them, Lord. And help us, Lord, to seek your face with all of our heart, soul, and mind. As we come out to the end, Lord, close to the end, close to your coming. Help us, Lord, to search our own lives according to the book. Oh, God, as David prayed, search me, O Lord, and try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the path everlasting. Lord, grant to us a search from the word of God in our own hearts and lives. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful plan that we have. Opportunities to come to God's house where our pastor preaches from the book. The word of God. Oh, the one you've magnified above all your name. Oh, the one that will outlast the sun, the moon, and the stars is your holy word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Bless this congregation. Draw us nearer to you. Help us to realize, Lord, there's healing. There's salvation. There's many wonderful things promised to us in the book. Lord, help us to believe it, and it will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.